Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Greetings and welcome to Under Consultation, an episode-by-episode podcast guide through the UK's greatest video game challenge TV show, Games Master. I am one of your hosts, Luke Owen, and I did not win an original Games Master Golden Joystick. When we started this podcast, we did wonder if we'd have people who were on the show reach out to us and tell us that they listened and share their memories of being on the show. And if you've listened to the podcast before, then you'll know we've spoken to a few challengers ahead of us actually reaching their episode, so we get those interviews slotted into the actual episode they appeared on. But there have been times where we've recorded an episode, edited it, posted it, and then we've had challengers reach out to us. In some cases, we've done some special episodes around them, like Sam from the Humberside Hawks at the end of Series 3, for example. But others have just been conversations that have been sat in our DMs waiting for Ash and I to do something about it. And before we wrap up Series 4 completely with the Gore Special live episode next week, I wanted to put together a compilation of interviews of challengers that we didn't get to speak to at the time of their episode being released. Just a heads up, like I did with the Games Master Live 92 interviews, I'm going to try and remove myself as much from the chats as possible so we can just focus on the challengers and their stories. So, without further ado, here come some old challengers.
Hello, I'm Amber, and I was on Games Master Season 3.
What was your history with Games Master prior to being on the show? Like, did you watch the show?
No. I can't remember exactly, but I probably had heard of it. But no, it wouldn't have been something that I watched or was familiar with. So I wasn't a gamer or anything. So no, I think I was a bit, when I was younger, I was into like school and homework and would stay in my bedroom and ask my mum to set me more schoolwork. And I think it might have been a case that she wanted me out of the house, and my next door neighbour, who was a couple of years, it sounds awful like when I say it back, and I feel so bad, but he was going to these open auditions. He was like into his computer games, and I think my mum had asked his dad if I could tag along, so I did. And then I feel awful, but there was just a room full of kids playing computer games with adults going around with clipboards talking to them. I was just sat there bored out of my mind, and was approached and asked if I wanted to go for a chat and play some computer games. So I probably just went along with it. They were chatting to me. And then I don't know how long after, but I got a letter through the post asking me to go on the show. And the boy that I went with didn't get asked to go on the show. So it is really harsh, but yeah, so that's how that happened. Yeah, so I feel bad for him. Got no idea what I would have been doing. Yeah, I don't think it was would have been the games that I played on the show. I've got no memory of that at all. I just remember them sitting there chatting, I suppose, to see if we were confident and would we have been confident enough to be on the show. I probably weren't fussed, to be honest with you. It wouldn't have been, unless I started talking to other people, you know, if there was people at school that might have been like, oh, well, you know, we watch that sort of thing. I remember after being on the show, I was excited because a lot of my friends came with me. And, you know, there was a lot of hype around it after I was at secondary school. So people were aware that I was going to be on it. So I was probably more into it after, but before, no, because I probably wouldn't have been aware of what it was about until I actually was on the show. I don't remember thinking, oh, I'm going to be on it, let's watch a few or anything like that. I probably, at the time, you know, I was 11 years old, just starting secondary school. I was more concerned with, I don't know, my hair or something like that. There was quite a few of us, so I've got a big family. So there was probably between 15 and 20 of us, like some school friends, like aunts, uncles, my parents, cousins. And we travelled up in this transit van, some of us. So a lot of us were just sliding around in the back of this van. So that's like a memory for me, like being with my friends. And then when, you know, I can't remember everything, but when we got there, I would have been separated from them, and even, you know, I wouldn't have been with my mum. I remember just going in this room and practicing the games, I think, that we would have been playing that day. And I remember being quite nervous. I was worried as well about my hair because my mum made me have it in a French plait and I hated it. So that was on my mind. And she made me tuck my T-shirt in, which I hated. It wouldn't have been in fashion to have your T-shirt tucked in. So I hated that. So that would have been on my mind. And yeah, just being nervous, I suppose. And I remember going, because I think it was filmed in Oxford Prison, was it? This, the one that I was on, yeah. And I remember going down the stairs and there just being, because we weren't exposed to what was going on beforehand. So I was in this room 1 minute and then walking down these stairs. So as I walked down the stairs, as you see it on the TV, that's the first time I saw everybody. And I don't think we saw the presenters before either. So that was daunting. And then I think, I don't know if it was straight away, but possibly when we got mic'd up, I had to have my T-shirt out. So I was really happy about that. And I remember seeing my mum, because when we sat down to play, I don't know if it would have been the first round, but my family were literally behind me. So there was people all around, like on the balconies, but because there was quite a lot of us, we had the whole bit behind. And I remember my mum sort of like mouthing to me about my T-shirt, you know, tuck it in, tuck it in. But I was like relieved about that. But I think it was all creased up, but I didn't care. So I was just glad that my T-shirt wasn't tucked in anymore.
Okay, good. What about you, Amber? How do you fancy your chances?
I'll win.
You'll win?
Yeah.
Amber's got her fan club in tonight, haven't you, Amber?
Yeah, and again, you know, I wouldn't have been familiar really with who it would have been after that. I was more aware of who he was and that he was in Bugsy Malone, which was a favourite like film of mine. But he was really nice and friendly. I remember like being off camera and he would be silly, like dancing around with me and stuff like that. So he was like really welcoming. So it was like a friendly environment, but not my scene, I suppose, because I wasn't into that, you know. So all the talk that they was talking, I would have been like, but it was fun. You know, I look back on it now, you know, and it was a really good experience, but I suppose at the time I didn't appreciate it for what it was.
Okay, then, well, let's find out if our contestants are ready. It's the two to get through with the fastest time. They're the ones who are going to qualify. Okay, I've got my stopwatch ready. Let's find out if Amber's ready.
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's the green light. Go!
Yeah, I remember being nervous, I think. You know, because you want to do well, don't you? You're going back to school, especially that age. You don't want to be some sort of loser. Yeah, I was nervous, and I would have been just sort of panic pressing the buttons probably, and just got through it, I think. So I don't know how I did it. I would have just been manic pressing the buttons and luckily got through. Actually, going back to the auditions, I think as well, the reason why I was approached is because they wanted more females on the show. I got that impression at the time that, you know, it was probably mainly boys sat there and I was sort of the odd one out. So, yeah, that's probably how I ended up getting on it. I don't remember watching, and I think there might have been a TV in the room, possibly. I don't really remember that. And I don't remember it being a particularly long day either. I think it was in, out sort of thing. Yeah, I think there were breaks where we were sort of like down the stairs, up the stairs sort of thing. And it literally was a small room, like up the stairs. It might have been in one of the cells, possibly. It wasn't that we was having some sort of luxury behind the scenes. It was probably just a room with a computer in, just practicing, and not practicing very long either. I don't remember hanging around too long. I think it sort of happened quite quickly, but we weren't around watching other people and stuff like that.
Okay, good stuff, well done. Not well done to you. You got knocked to the canvas twice. What happened, Alistair?
I think I chose the wrong character, maybe a bit more speed.
Done it. Well, Sharon, look out. You chose the wrong character, as you said. Now, Amber, the champion! Yeah. Oh, good stuff. Okay, okay. Amber, you mustn't bring your family next time. Very well done. It was well done. Are you happy about that?
Yep.
Pleased? Are you surprised you won?
Yeah, I chose the right character.
I chose the right character. Absolutely, you did.
And that was pure luck and a fluke because, like, you can see me doing it as well. I didn't move. I did, like, he was coming towards me and my character wasn't moving. It was just staying on the spot, just punching. I was just pressing the same button over and over again. Obviously, I realised, oh, hang on a minute, this is a cool button, you know, like this is working, and just stuck with it and just didn't move. I think if I'd have moved forward, he would have got the advantage. So I wasn't confident. No, and even though I said that I was, my aunt told me to say that. So anything I said, which I look back on now and think how cringy, that I said it, I didn't, it wasn't from my mouth. It was my aunt, just who's really confident. She would have been saying to me, oh, say this, say that. And, you know, an 11-year-old wouldn't say things that I was coming out with, you know, like I chose the best character or something like that. She was telling me what to say. But no, I wasn't confident at all. And it was just luck that I won, really. Yeah, I was really happy, which, obviously, watching it back, I can see how happy I was. But I think it was more not about the joystick. Like I said, I didn't appreciate it for what it was at the time. I wasn't fully aware. So it was just more about, I suppose, you know, doing it for your friends and family, wanting to please them and going back to school and saying, you know, that you've won. But it wasn't about winning the show or the joystick, I don't think. It was more about, oh, I've won and I'm not a loser. I remember when they gave it to me, you can see as well that I'm gulping. I think it was more him because he was like huge, the guy that brought it. But yeah, we got to take it home and I think we stopped off, like my dad would have treated us all to a McDonald's. And I remember when we got to my road, so the boy, obviously, that I went to the audition with, he was our next door neighbour. So when we got up to our road, like my dad stuck me on top of the transit van with the joystick and with all like my family in there, like clapping and stuff. So that's like really awful, isn't it? Like looking back. I mean, he's... you know, I'm still friends with him now. And when I put, when I got the joystick out of the loft, because it's been in the loft for, you know, God knows how long, got it out the loft and put a photo on Facebook. And he said, oh, like, he's still traumatised by it, but obviously jesting. But, yeah, so looking back, I'm probably more excited about it now than I was at the time. I think other people remember it more than I do, because when I've spoke to friends recently, you know, they've said, you know, I remember, you know, coming into school and everyone talking about it, but I don't remember that. But it's probably boys, you know, that they were probably talking about it. I remember when I first, when my husband now came round my house for the first time, and the joystick was in my brother's bedroom on the top of his wardrobe. And he tells all his friends now that he sort of walked in and was like, you know, like, he's like, what is that? Is that the golden joystick? And I would have been like, whatever. but, you know, he's 6 years older than me. So I think it would have been more his thing and his friends. But I just remember him, like, it being a big deal. I said, we always joke and say that's why he asked me to marry him, so he could have the golden joystick. But what's funny is that it's like just plastic, and it's spray painted plastic, and they missed a bit. So where the switch turns, it's still like red. They obviously forgot to turn things. So it's just a bit of plastic. I mean, it sounds really bad, because I'm sure there's people out there that would love to have a golden joystick, and there's me slagging it off, saying, oh, it's just a bit of plastic. But it hasn't gone back in the loft yet. I keep thinking, oh, I should put it in the loft, but I've put it next to, we've got like this gaming stand thing in our front room, our living room, and it's on top of that now, so it might stay there. But the novelty will probably wear off after a few months. I'm still friends with a lot of people that I was friends with back then at school. So when we do, you know, talk about memories, that is something that comes up, but not, again, not about winning, but the travel up there. I think someone got travel sick in the back, you know, was sick in their hand, someone passed wind and those sort of things, you know, like kids, you know, joke around about things like that. So it's just more memories of having fun with them, I think, like on the day, and obviously joking about how I come to be on the show and the audition, you know, that he wanted to be on it and didn't get on it, and I wasn't fussed and did, and then ended up winning as well.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com.
Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fellow games fans, are you ready to challenge the Games Master? Tuesday, 6:30, Channel 4.
Yeah, so hi, my name's Adam Ray, and I was on Games Master Series 4 back in 1994. I was playing Echo, Tides of Time, and I won the Golden Joystick. Got very lucky, actually. Well, obviously watched the show from when it first started, and subscribed to so many games magazines back in the day, you know, Games Master, Mean Machines, and then the official Nintendo magazine, Mean Machines Sega, Computer Video Games, all of those. We had all of those magazines. So we were, me and my brother were big gamers. Yeah, we had pretty much all of the major systems when they got released, Sega and Nintendo. So yeah, just always, yeah, always been, and still do to this day, you know, still play a lot of games. I think I was just gearing myself up for it, really. And I was a bit young as well at the time. I think I must have, you know, pestered my parents for many years to go on the show, and then they finally cracked and gave in, you know, and yeah, just applied. Yeah, so can't quite remember how I did apply. I think it was either watching the show and they put an advert out on the show, or in the magazine there must have been something, but I remember writing a letter off to the production company and sort of just telling them how mad I was on games and how I always watched the show and stuff. So yeah, just lucked out, really. Got a reply one day. I knew exactly who it was from because the production company logo, I remember that logo from the show. So I remember as soon as I saw that letter, I was like, really, you know, sort of, well, yeah, gearing myself maybe for them to say, oh, you know, you haven't made it, you know, thanks for replying. But then they did. They invited me down to London for an audition. It was, I can't remember whereabouts it was, but I'm pretty sure it was somewhere in North London. And it was just, I think it must have been their production offices, but me and my brother went down and got introduced to the producers. And then we just sort of sat with them, talking about games, playing games. And yeah, I remember playing Street Fighter 2 on the Super Nintendo, the Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and beat the guy on there. So I think that, yeah, I think they just wanted to kind of suss us out if we were, you know, sort of real gamers, I guess, and good enough to go on the show, yeah. My brother did as well, yeah. I think you've done his episode already. I think he was a little bit later on in Series 4 than me, but he played a really rubbish game on the Panasonic 3DO called Twisted, I think. They didn't actually tell us what game we were going to play until we arrived on the day. And then so Series 4 was filmed in a church in East London. I don't think it's used anymore. I think the church is still there, but it's used for something else. So yeah, we got down there on the day, and then there was all these kind of porter cabins set up outside. And we went into a porter cabin, and that's where they had like a bench, a row of all of the consoles. And yeah, they told me then that my game was going to be the sequel to Echo, and it wasn't actually out then. So I was really quite sort of, you know, happy, excited to be playing a game that wasn't out. So I remember that they didn't actually have the cartridge either. It was just literally just like a chipboard that they had in the Mega Drive. And so, yeah, just sat down, and I think had about half an hour to an hour practice on the game. And it was literally just that section of the game that they had. So it wasn't even a finished game or anything, you know. And yeah, just practiced through, didn't actually complete the level when I was practicing. So I was quite nervous when I actually, you know, they told me that it was my time to go into the studio, into the church, because I thought for sure that I wasn't going to do it, you know. But yeah, got really lucky, yeah. it's a bit weird, actually. You kind of, I was part of the audience, because I don't know if you obviously remember, the audience was like in a cage. So I remember my dad and my brother and me were in there for quite a while. And it was just all of the kind of introducing stuff. And like, you know, Dominic Diamond came out, said hello, and then he'd get like the people on. And then if you were a challenger, I think you were asked to leave. So I don't quite know why that was, but I think they just sort of shepherded us out, and then they did the challenge there, you know, then we could come back in and, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know if you can tell, but I was really nervous. My voice was kind of quivering, you know, and we did have a little rehearsal with him just before the cameras rolled. And he said, oh, I'm going to ask you this question. You need to come up with a funny answer. And then, so he asked me, I think, what do I like about dolphins, I think.
Moving on to you, Adam. Echo 2 features a dolphin. Do you like dolphins?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
What do you like about dolphins?
Where they swim.
That's quite nice. I love dolphins myself. I can eat 3 a week.
What a random question to ask a 14-year-old, you know, like, I don't know. You know? Because you're already in that situation, you know, where cameras are rolling and, you know, you're about to go on camera playing a game, and then all of a sudden you've got this, he hits you with this curveball, you know, and kind of like, you know, crazy. But that was just, yeah, he was a really funny guy. He was really, really nice. And yeah, so I remember actually when the day finished, and we were hanging around outside, and Dominic came out of the church and just said, oh, you know, hi guys, thanks for playing. And then there was a stretched limo there waiting for him, and he just off he went like some rock and roll star. Brilliant, never forget that, it's so funny.
Three rigs, he's got 12 seconds left. Here he goes, he's got one rig, 8 seconds left. Where's the second one?
They're either above sea level or they're under.
3, 2, he's not going to do it, he's not going to do it. Oh, Desmond, I think he made it through 2 rings, but Robert's challenge is over and he must make way for Adam.
I think I just thought, oh, that was, you know, he's not done it, so there's no chance that I can do it either, you know. But yeah, I just got really lucky on the day, and it just, yeah.
The albatrosses have got to be avoided here. If he goes higher, I think he'll actually bypass them.
Yeah, you can miss the big birds there.
Oh, that was quite lucky.
Very jolly. 20 seconds gone.
Yeah, I was really relieved after that. I was just like, that was the hardest part. Because, you know, it was like, well, I kind of, you know, getting the rings. There was a lot of rings in the second part of the level in the ocean. Some of them were above it, so sometimes you had to jump out of the water. But yeah, I was pretty sure after that I was gonna complete the challenge, really. I had quite a lot of time left, so.
Adam, what can I say? You are the ring king.
Yeah.
But you were a bit lucky about halfway through there, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I was a bit fortunate when I was flying up the rock, a bird at the top caught me and I flew down.
Yeah, but you managed to fly the other way.
Yeah.
No, instead, you're obviously blessed.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, couldn't believe it at the time, you know. It's just all quite, yeah, a little bit overwhelming for me, really. Yeah.
I've got something a bit special for you now. As we come on down and polish our hotspots on the 3D game show, Twisted.
Yeah, he, when he was told what game he'd be playing, he absolutely hated it. You know, he couldn't stop moaning about it. He was like, why do I get to play this game? You know, it's like, no one's ever heard of this. It's some crappy quiz game, you know, and it was just like, he wasn't happy. But yeah, he won the first. So the game was split up into 3 different quizzes, I think. So it's like a sort of interactive quiz game. And I think the first one was you had to slide some tiles around to make up a picture, and he won that really easily. So I thought, oh, he's going to do it now, you know. And then the second part, after the first part, the other guy, his challenger, lost. So Jason was one up. And then he failed the second part, which was like a game of kind of like, you know, matching the 2 pictures. He failed that, and the other guy did as well. But on the third section of the challenge, the guy, it was like a kind of, like a, you know, like a sort of face swap thing, you know, with the kind of, yeah, you know, when you have to line up all of the faces, yeah, using the sliders. the guy lucked out and he'd done it in like 4 seconds. And my brother Jay didn't do the last section. So the guy won because he done it the quickest time. So yeah, he felt a little bit hard done by afterwards for sure. But no, yeah. So I had bragging rights then for the next, you know, rest of my lives really. So when I was in the cabin practicing, do you remember Natalie Imbruglia?
Of course.
Yeah, she came down, sat next to me, and she was playing, oh, it was some clown game on the Super Nintendo. Like, I don't think she was expecting to play a game like that. She wasn't very good at it. But, you know, it's kind of, yeah, it's just funny because obviously watching Neighbours as well, I was just sort of sitting there playing my game, and then I noticed someone sat down next to me. I just kind of glanced up and then kind of glanced again. And I was like, oh, my God. It's Beth, our Neighbours. So then I was even more nervous, you know. The whole day was just like the nervous level, anxiety level just went up and up and up, you know. Yeah, all of my close friends came over, you know, and where is it? Where's your golden joystick? But yeah, it's funny. Yeah, it's just one of those things. They obviously ribbed me for the dolphin comment, you know. Yeah, memories looking back are funny. It's just one of those things that crops up every now and again, you know, with my sort of friends now, because obviously when you go through life, you know, you meet sort of new friends so I've been sort of going through the story a few times now in my life, and it's always a funny story to tell, you know. And then obviously because it's on YouTube now and the reboots come out, it's a good time, you know, to sort of have been on the show and to have, you know, been fortunate enough to win a joystick. So I have got it here, actually, my joystick. So yeah, it's a little bit faded throughout the years, and the case is a bit sort of scratched and broken now, but yeah, it's still there, still all right, still looks pretty good. It's only a quick shot joystick as well. It's literally just, you can see they just snapped the wire off the bottom and just sprayed it, and that was it. So I remember I was sort of looking at it afterwards thinking, oh, hang on, it's just a cheap old quick shot joystick that they sprayed. Yeah,
money.
Yeah, the bottom. This was another thing they told me as well on the day. They said when they gave me, because the joystick that I got straight after the challenge was just a prop. So they gave me my actual one afterwards. And they said, just be careful because, you know, whatever you do, don't hold it from the side. You have to hold it from the bottom because the bottom's not sort of glued on. So I knew that. But then my brother wanted to have a look. So as soon as I gave it to my brother, he dropped it. I was like, oh, what are you doing? You know, couldn't believe it. I think he did it on purpose.
I'm Christian Dinn, aka Chrissy Two Sticks. I was in the original Games Master season 4 doing the Donkey Kong challenge. I didn't watch every episode. I just caught it every now and then. But I did watch season 3. I think that was my main one. I did catch one and series 1 and 2, but not every episode. And I was reading, I was buying a lot of magazines, so I read a lot of the magazines, and I was thought, oh, I want to go in there because I do play a lot of Super NES, so I thought I'll be all right. Mega Drive, not so much, but I thought I'll be okay. So that's how I found out when I can't remember which magazine. It must have been Games Master magazine because I did have quite a lot, like Super Play, CVG, Games Master magazine, the occasional Edge, but had too many grown-up words in there for me. So yeah, that's what I have to be on. And that's how I, inquired about it. Well, we had to write in, as letter, just write in and just wait with all our contact details. And I got a call saying to come and audition. They gave the address and they said, do you have like a friend you'd like to bring along? Because I guess just to speed up the audition process. So I called my family friend. I used to call my cousin, but it's not really technically my cousin. But we went along, me, him, who's also on season 4, and his sister. So we went along. I did apply for, it was a Games Master and a Games World because they were done by the same production company, which is Hewlin International. So I wasn't sure which one I was going to, but I was just going to one of them. And when we got there, it was a room full of TVs. It was at least 20 TVs around the room. And we had to, they just said, they had Mortal Kombat playing, Mortal Kombat 2, I believe it was. No, Mortal Kombat 1, sorry. They said, oh, just pick a TV, sit down and play. I thought, oh, just by myself. They said, yeah, just sit down and play and we'll walk around and just have a watch. And I looked around, it was just kids on every screen playing. I thought, okay, Mortal Kombat is not really my game. I was a Street Fighter 2 player, but I do remember some moves. So I sat down and played, and my friend, we went and sat down next to each other and we were just playing. I was looking around the room thinking, are they going to come and watch or not? And they were just looking around. So I thought, what do I do? Do I just play? So I started playing the single player mode and I was just playing. And then when I saw them coming, I thought, okay, they're coming. So, you know, pull out all the best moves you can. And I didn't really know all the moves. So I was just Liu Kang and I was just doing his little diving helicopter, his kick, like his charging kick. And I just kept doing that over and over. So I was watching for a while and then they just walked on and thought, oh, that's it? They're not going to say nothing to me? Do I just carry on playing or what? I thought, okay. So yeah, that was the audition. And we played for another about 5-10 minutes. And then they said, okay, everyone, that would do. We'll be in contact. I thought, oh, that's it. Did I do well? They said, yeah, you did very well. I think they just said that to all the kids there. So you did very well. And that was it. Just went home and thinking, oh, don't know what happens next. Hopefully it was okay. It was a phone call. And they said to come in for, my timeline's a bit messed up because I did go on Games World as well. They called and said, they gave the location. I believe it was St. Paul's Church. But obviously I was 13 at the time. I thought, I have no idea of getting there. So my friend, he said, don't worry, we'll work it out. And they called him as well, by the way. They called us both to come. He was on episode 8. It was the Power Drive Challenge. His name was Ricky Nguyen. Yes. it was so funny because the story was, we arrived on the day, me and him, and everyone was outside. There was all these kids, but they all had their parents there, and we traveled alone. So it was just us two, and we was a bit lost. Everyone had their parents there, and we saw another two kids who were also in the challenges. I'll tell you in a bit. There was two of them. They were also without parents, so we naturally just gravitated towards each other and said, oh, hello, how are you doing? You all right? Introduced ourselves. What happened was then is I think the producers went round because they did not actually tell us what we were going to play. We just turned up. The producers went around and everyone started going off into groups and going into... They had these... outside the church, they had these temporary buildings, like as if... Say you're at a school and they're just repairing the school. They'll put up these temporary buildings. So there was about four of them. We went in there, spoke to the producer. They said, these are the games you're going to be playing. They just had my friend was called Ricky. And the other two was called Melvin and Sharif. And what happened was, we sat down and they said, right, we've got these games we want you to play. So we're going to split you up. So they put me with Sharif, which was my challenge rival, and they put Ricky with Melvin. And you guys will probably remember Melvin was Dom's favorite with the ecstasy gear. So they split us up and they said, okay, you two will be playing Power Drive and you two will be playing the first to play Donkey Kong Country. I thought, yes, lucky I did get the Power Drive because I thought, what is that game? I don't want to be playing no Power Drive, but Donkey Kong Country right out of the street. It says, okay, so you guys will be putting you into separate rooms. You could have a little practice, get used to the game. You only have about 5 minutes because we need to do makeup and they need to get everyone else into the rooms to practice whatever games they will be playing. So, yeah, that's what I remember. I had literally a few runs, a few minutes to play, and Sharif went in and the other kid, Tim, I believe he was, he went in as well. I was used to platformers, so I thought, okay, it feels the same. It just looks nice. It just looks so much different from what I was used to. So I had a quick go and I thought, I was quite nervous. I thought, just have a quick go. But then, the other two guys were standing right beside me. So we were just watching each other play. So I was a bit shy and embarrassed. I didn't play too much. I didn't even complete levels. Just had jumping around, getting hit by the little pebbles by the bad guys. That was it. Then I said, oh, you can have a go. I watched like Tim and Sharif have a go. And that was it. Next thing you go, okay, Christian, can we have you in the makeup room? And that was it. Powder up your face and wait. And really, we were just hanging around outside most of the day because they were filming certain segments. I wasn't even in the... Because they had a cage where the audience was. And I thought I'd just be in there watching everyone play. No, I was just outside. I don't know why. We were just sitting on the table and chair. These plastic tables and chairs sat outside and we just sat there. And I think because they had all the celebrities coming in as well. So it was quite an organized day. And I was there for a few hours at least. But I saw the celebrities. Because they would arrive. We were all sitting outside. And when they arrive, it's a big courtyard. And they would just arrive, walk past us. And we'd be like, as in like fans waiting for them. Like, hi, hi. And they just wave at us and walk into the trailers. You know? And that's it. But the three we had on the day, it was great. It was like my... teenage crush. We had Natalie Imbruglia. Oh my gosh, you don't know how big a crush I had on her. I mean, I had a crush on every TV personality back then, but she was a massive crush of mine. We also had there was Jimmy White on the day, the snooker player, and the one that you guys will probably talk about soon was RoboCop. And I thought, oh, what a cop out. That's not a celebrity, but anyway, you know, because I think how it worked was every day of filming, there was three celebrities appeared each day. And I thought, oh, we saw Natalie Imbruglia. It was like, yes, that's the best one. Jimmy White, I thought, oh, yeah, Jimmy White, he's cool. And I used to watch snooker when I was younger. And then we saw RoboCop. I thought, what? This is not a celebrity, is it? And they say, yeah, that's the celebrity. I thought, oh, what a cop-out. But yeah. But we were sitting outside. And this was what was really nice is Natalie, she came over and spoke to us. We just all sitting there. But it was terrible because she came over to us and we just all were sitting down and we just sat there with hands in pockets. She came over to us and instead of getting up or sitting up straight, we just carried on slouching and as if we had no interest in her. But when she was walking towards us, it was like, she's coming. But when she came, we just all sat there all, you know, laid back, casual. Oh, hi. Yeah, how you doing? She was like, how are you boys doing? And, you know, I was really glad she came over, but also like appreciative because she gave us the time. I mean, Jimmy White didn't pop out of his trailer once. He was in the whole time. You know, RoboCop didn't come out to see us. Which was a shame, but but yeah, we spoke to her. And I didn't speak to her because I was so shy, but I was just staring. If you've seen me, my eyes were just fixed on her like lasers, and she didn't make eye contact with me because every time she looked at me, she saw me just staring right at her. She went, oh no, let me look away. So awkward and uncomfortable. But yeah, oh, Melvin, he's such a good talker. He was he even asked for a kiss and he got one. Yeah, he said she goes, all right, boys, you know, good luck with your games. I'll see you soon. He goes, can I have a kiss? I was like, oh no, why did we ask that? So she gave him a kiss on the cheek. She kissed him. But we did get a hug. So then I was like, that was, oh, that made my my year. I just said, I hugged Natalie Imbruglia. I went and told everyone at school, and that was it. So we went in. Then when we went in, they put us into the cage, and we did a couple of test film, I guess. So we would queue up, they'll call us up, we'll queue up. We'll line up on our spot, on our marks, and then after he introduces us, and he'll ask us questions. So we did that a couple of times. Each time was different. That's why it was interesting to see what they actually used, because when I watched my friend's one, Ricky, on the Power Drive Challenge, him and Melvin was just so funny. He was just cracking jokes left, right, and center, bantering back and forth with Dom. That's why I guess it said he's my favorite, but if you watched the episode, you wouldn't know why he's his favorite. But yeah, they were bantering back and forth and he was just telling jokes and he was laughing. But the rest of us, we were just, you know, terrible on the mic. Especially me. I was the most embarrassed because I saw that every time when it was our turn, me, Tim and Sharif, I just see Ricky and Melvin just like laughing and giggling in the background. I thought, oh, this is horrible. I'm so embarrassed. But but yeah, it was good. That was the first time we met Dominic, and so he just shook our hands and really went straight into filming. I've seen him on TV. When you actually see him, and he's really tall as well. He's like he must be 6 foot plus, and we're like, oh wow. So that's why I was a bit kind of like scared in a way, like I say starstruck, in awe, intimidated in a way. So when he spoke to me, I was just answered the question. Just nervous and scared.
Now, I bet you three have had some great monkey experiences in your life. But what about this game? On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you guys about being one of the first people in Britain to play Donkey Kong Country Tim?
10, definitely.
Chris?
10.
Sharif?
8.
I knew you would just be awkward, wouldn't you? You can always tell it's a bloke in a silly hat that's going to be awkward.
I remember in the practice, I did take the rhino and go through the bonus stage. I didn't go up the top way, but when they played, when I was watching, I did see them jump up, but we couldn't time it or nothing like that. We were just literally trying to get used to it. It was our first time playing it. So I was more worried about not messing up before then, rather than which route shall we take. They didn't even tell us it was speed challenge. They said, just play it, get used to it. So really, we were just playing and concentrating on jumping about and getting used to the controls. But when we played, I remember going through the bonus and I saw Tim go through the bonus. I thought, okay, he's done that. There's no point in doing the same thing. I'll try not going in the bonus. So it's really like a gamble. I didn't know if it was faster or not. I just saw he went in. There's no point in me doing the same thing because he didn't look like he was really taking that long. I saw him go through that way. I thought, let me just try the top way.
The big question is now, is he going to go for that rhino?
No, he's not going for it. He still goes for the rhino.
Actually, did Tim Boss.
Yes, he has.
He's got the rhino as well. 23 seconds.
He's running slow, though. He's going to have to really motor now.
27 seconds, man. 46 seconds of the time he's going to beat.
Oh, he's screaming through this level.
He's picked up the
tailway time.
He's slowing down.
He's got
the rhino. Oh, it's amazing. He's got his 6 seconds. And what in 10 seconds quicker for Christian. Now he must make way for Sharif.
And then when it was Sharif's turn, the third player, and I watched him go through, I was like, yes, we went through there. Because after my time, I was a good 10 seconds faster than Tim, the first guy. When I saw Sharif go through, I was like, yes. Inside, I was like, yeah. But outside, I was just hands in my pockets, deadpan face, like no excitement whatsoever. But inside, I was like, yes, I won this. Yeah, when he went through the bonus, I thought, it's done, it's over. I've done it. And I was like, yes. Then I just looked over at my mate Ricky. I looked at him and I was just nodding at him, and he's like, oh, you've done it.
Now, Tim, you were a bit unlucky in that you had to go first, actually, weren't you?
Yeah, I didn't know whether to go through the bonus or not, and I did, and it was slow.
And it was, you were very unlucky. Although, Christian, you were very fortunate because you took a bit of a risk on up the top there, but it paid off.
Yeah, because I saw him go on the bonus, he was slower, so I took the top.
I was happy, but I was just naturally a shy person. And I mean, I remember what I said, and it's so cringy listening to it back. But yeah, I said, I saw him go through the bonus and it was slow, so I took the top way. Exact words. But yeah, that's all I could think of saying. I mean, obviously, hindsight, you want to, I don't know, I want to speak more and seem more confident. But that's just how it was at the time. Just so shy and nervous. I remember afterwards, we didn't get to hang out because the only reason why we would hang out is if we were in the audience to watch the other challenges, or the celebrities were still there. That if Natalie and Brulia were still there, we would hang around and say, you know, is she going to come out again and speak to us again? But no, I guess after she filmed hers, we didn't get to see her after that. So I guess she just went wherever, and we just went home. And I got given the joystick, put it in a plastic Sainsbury's bag, and on the bus. And the journey home was strange because then we went, me and Ricky and Melvin and Sharif, we were together, we were on the bus together, and they all kept saying, oh, let me see the joystick. I was like, oh yeah, here you go. And we was talking about Natalie and Brulia. That's all I cared about, more hugging Natalie and Brulia than the joystick at the time. It's like, wow. And we was talking about that. Then I just remember we just parting ways. Okay, see you later. They just got off at their stop, never spoke or saw them again. And then going home, I'm just in my mind just thinking about Natalie and Brulia. That was all I was thinking about. So that was it. But with this carrying the joystick in a Sainsbury's plastic bag, it's just weird. And going back to Ricky's house, and that was the end of the day. When I got back to school, I had to tell everyone. There was no NDAs to sign back then. They didn't give me nothing to sign. Or if they did, I don't remember. So I went and told everyone at school, I was on Games Master. They say, liar, liar. No one believed me. Kids were quite cruel back then. They're like, you know, tongue in the chin. Bring it in then. I said, I'm not going to bring it in because you're going to steal it. They said, well, then you weren't on it then. So obviously I had to bring it in. And everyone made fun of me, saying, oh, plastic, cheap, you know, whatever. But then when the show aired about 4 months later, yeah, they were suddenly all speaking to me again. So can you bring your joystick in again? I said, nope. That's it. You've had your Mickey taken. That's it. When I go to work, the banter I get at work is funny. I mean, they still making the joystick remarks now. They say, oh, got your joysticks with you. Oh, here we go again. Same joke every day. But they said, no, they're at home on my shelf. But yeah, it's been really good. I mean, I've enjoyed it, and I'm so glad it came back for the season 8. And to go on it again was amazing. So just glad, because I did say after my season 4 appearance, I'm like, oh, I wish I get to go on again and redo. I mean, I got to win the joystick, it was great, but I just like regret how I was, not just trying to be too cool for school and not lapping it, you know, living the moment. But yeah, I was always going to say, if it ever comes back, I'm going to try apply again. But just years passed and nothing, and that was it. I just didn't think about it again. So when the pandemic hit, I thought I'll make a pandemic TikTok, because I was just so bored. And I thought TikTok's what my kids are on. I thought, oh, let me just make one and just see in however long this lasts, how, you know, how many followers I can get. And that was one of the things I did. I thought, oh, what can I do? I was running out of things to do. I was doing all the trends and it was just boring me. And I thought, what else can I do that's different? And I thought, oh, let me do like, bring the Games Master Challenge back. So, I filmed it. And that was my first try. I did say when I did the challenge, I said, just try it your first go. I mean, have like a warm-up turn. But as soon as you press record on the camera, that'll be it. As if it was like the real challenge in Games Master, because we didn't. I mean, I heard some of the episodes. You said they got to redo the challenges. For us, it was literally play and that's it. There's no redos. So when I did that challenge, I said, film it your first go. As soon as you press record, that is it. If you mess up, you mess up. Just as if it was a real challenge. But yeah, I did that, and I didn't know when I heard. I didn't know on the podcast that being Diddy Kong was, you'd be quicker, because if I did, I would have just lost them Donkey Kong straight away. But when I did the challenge, I actually got hit by stuff. Oh no, I was like, what's wrong with me? I'm going to lose this challenge. And I was so behind, but for some reason, I ended up finishing the level quicker than Donkey Kong. And I thought, how did that happen? Maybe it's the emulator is quicker. Maybe the old game was slower. I was just trying to think why, but I thought, oh well, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to post it. I beat my time, and that was it.
Thank you to everyone we spoke to on this show for taking the time out to speak with us. It really, really does mean a lot to us. And I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. I certainly enjoyed chatting with everyone, getting to know them and hearing their stories. And if you were a challenger on a previous series of Games Master, or you've got a challenge coming up, do let us know. Even if you know someone, let us know. Get in touch with the show, feedback@underconsultation.com, because maybe we'll do another episode like this down the line. Next week, it's the Games Master Gore special live show wrapping up Series 4, and then we'll finally kick off Series 5. I mean, we'll do the Episode 0, and then we'll officially kick off Series 5. It's been a long time coming. It's been like 2 months coming, in fact. If you want to support this podcast, you can do so by backing us over at patreon.com/underconsolepod, where you'll get access to UCP Extra, where we review other TV shows from the 80s and 90s, and our monthly community show, Under Console Nation. At the £5 level, you'll hear that Games Master Gore special live episode right now, and get all upcoming episodes a week early and ad-free. And a shout-out to our $10 backers, which, I'm sorry, we haven't done in ages, Xanderthal, William, Simon, Sean, Robert, Rich Pemberton, Nick, Misha, Matty Boo, Link, Kevin, Jamie, Gordon Dempster, Gordon Brandt, David Palmer, David Fisher, Darkside73, Cliff, Christian Din, who was actually on this episode, Andrew Cummings, Adam D, Colin, and Paul Harrington. Thank you all so much for listening. Each and every single one of you who does so rules. We'll see you in 7 days' time for the Games Master Gore special. Take care, everyone.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.